Morning. There are always so many more of you here by the time I start the talk. When I was in ministerial school, we had oral exams twice a year. And one of the basic questions was, what is Unity's basic text? It was a trick question. The correct answer is the Bible. But most of the students were inclined to say, Lessons in Truth. Lessons in Truth, I have my old copy here. Lessons in Truth is more than a classic Unity book. It set the standard for what we teach and how we teach spiritual principles. It captured the beliefs of the New Thought movement that developed in the United States in the late 1800s. And for us today, there is still no better explanation of what we're trying to learn here and how to apply it to our lives. So how many of you have read or been in a class or studied Lessons in Truth? See, not a whole lot, not everyone. And that's what I thought. So, summer is a good time for back to basics. And remember, basic does not necessarily mean simple or easy. But for the next few weeks, I want to talk about the fundamental teachings of Unity. Did you know it's possible to be a Unity fundamentalist? Lessons in Truth is the most widely read book in Unity's history. It has sold at least 1.6 million copies. Spoiler alert, the whole book is about living in divine consciousness. The author, Emily Cady, believed that the goal of human life is to realize the fully divine nature in you. She believed only Jesus had done it, but she believed what we all seek is a sense of oneness with that divine presence in us. So, here's the story behind the book. Emily Cady was born in 1848. She grew up on a farm near Syracuse, New York, and she went into New York City to study homeopathic medicine. As a doctor, she became interested in spiritual healing through a faith healer who was having tent revivals. And she would go and she would see him actually healing people. And she was really impressed. But as a doctor, she believed there must be science behind it so it could be replicated. And for the rest of her life, Emily Cady was a bridge between faith and medicine. Lessons in Truth is a combination of Bible and metaphysics. You know, metaphysical means beyond the physical, or more than physical. It is the study of forces we can't necessarily see or prove with our five senses, but we can see the results. Emily Cady often recounts the healing demonstrations of Jesus. She often quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson. She saw him as someone who reached divine consciousness at least some of the time. You know, if the New Thought movement has a father, it's Emerson. The Transcendentalists, writing in the 1850s, influenced the people who later created the New Thought movement. Emily Cady was also heavily influenced by a man named Warren Felt Evans, who was a major metaphysical teacher in the late 1800s. And Cady studied under Emma Curtis Hopkins. If New Thought has a mother, it's Emma Curtis Hopkins. She was the teacher of teachers. She had a school in Chicago, but she also taught in New York City. She organized New Thought into a movement, and her students went off to found and lead its various branches. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore founded Unity. Ernest Holmes founded Religious Science. Another couple of her students founded Divine Science. You hear the word science? They were all looking for the system behind the miracles, the laws, the principles that were always at work. If Jesus said we could do anything he could do, these people were investigating how. And they returned again and again to the power of the mind, consciousness, or an inner divinity that makes us far more able to create our lives than we have realized. So Emily Cady was a doctor in New York City. She was in her 40s by now, studying metaphysics and the power of the mind to heal. Of course, she knew the work of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore out in Kansas City. They had founded Unity, and remember, they didn't start a church. They started a publishing house. They were sharing their ideas in writing by mail. So in 1891, 2 years after Unity was founded, Emily Cady sent the Fillmores an unsolicited manuscript. She had written a 22-page pamphlet, and they ended up printing it in their magazine under the title Finding the Christ in Ourselves. It was about the divine within. These people were on the same wavelength. So Emily Cady started writing more articles for Unity magazine. And in 1894, the Fillmores invited her to write 12 lessons on truth principles for Unity magazine. 12 lessons on the teachings that they all believed in common and wanted to share with others. Lessons in Truth was first a magazine series. Hugely popular. People kept demanding reprints of it. So 7 years later, Unity put those 12 lessons into a book and called it Lessons in Truth. When Unity established a correspondence school in 1909, again, teaching by mail, Lessons in Truth was part of the curriculum. In 1917, Unity's in-house newsletter speculated on why Lessons in Truth remained so popular. 3 reasons. It's fundamental. It lays out the foundations for all metaphysical study. It's practical. It provides a basis for healthy, prosperous living. And it's easily understood, written simply and clearly. We might argue with that last one today. By our standards, the language now is dated and abstract and wordy, but it's still more accessible than Charles Fillmore's books. I mean, even Unity at the time recommended start with Lessons in Truth, leave Fillmore's books for later. By 1920, Lessons in Truth had been translated into several languages, and Unity magazine said, it leads the student to the secret place of the Most High, where the fetters of false beliefs in sin, sorrow, sickness, and death drop away, leaving the spirit radiantly joyous in its newfound freedom. That's a lot to promise for a little book. Myrtle Fillmore was a fan. The Fillmores and Emily Cady never met, but they worked together for decades, and they founded a spiritual movement together. Myrtle wrote to Emily Cady that her writings were ringing their messages of truth and goodwill all over this great round earth. In 1933, Unity School established worldwide Lessons in Truth Week, which continued every year until 1968. For 35 years, all the Unity centers and individuals were encouraged to take that week to study Lessons in Truth. Lowell Fillmore, the Fillmore's oldest son, had just taken over Unity School in 1933, and he kept up correspondence with Emily Cady until she died in 41 when she was 93 years old. So when he told her that he was establishing Lessons in Truth Week, he said, each time we review it, we find new ideas revealed to us. And we thank you again and again for giving us such a wonderful guide for our spiritual unfoldment. That's how I feel about it. I always find something new in it, something I swear was not there the last time I read it. And my copy is pretty much all highlighted now. Lessons in Truth became the basis for other Unity writings. So as we go through these 4 weeks, you'll hear some familiar ideas that you might have first read from Eric Butterworth or even heard from me, but it started with Lessons in Truth. More than 100 years after Lessons in Truth was published, I wrote a book about Unity teachings called The Five Principles. It came out in 2009. And when Unity's publishing house was experimenting with different covers for the five principles, they wanted to see how it would look, but my book hadn't been actually printed yet. So they got a copy of Lessons in Truth, which is about the same size, and wrapped the five principles cover around it. So this is a five principles cover with Emily Cady's book inside. And that's when I realized it's all the same stuff. We just keep putting the same teachings into different or updated language. Because principles never change. Spiritual laws are laws. We just find different ways to talk about them. So I've always kept this mock-up. It's hugely flattering to have my cover around Lessons in Truth. But it also reminds me that our teachings come from this long line of spiritual pioneers. We are merely joining them in working out how to use principle in practical ways to make our lives prosperous and healthy. We're not so much receiving their wisdom as we are carrying on their research, because very few of us have yet mastered how to live in divine consciousness, in a state of oneness with God. Emily Cady begins her 12 lessons by suggesting that you set aside whatever you believe or think you know and let these ideas wash over you. Let them gestate. Go through all 12 lessons before you form opinions or challenge or discuss it. She says, become as a little child. Her first lesson is called Bondage or Liberty, Which? She says, suffering, all suffering, is a result of believing we are in bondage to flesh. Bondage is being trapped at the level of personality, relying on nothing but our human five senses. And like the prodigal son, she says, we're tired of eating husks. We are ready to rise and go to the Father. Eventually, we will know oneness. We will be free from suffering. We will have dominion over all things. When the human intellect bows to the spiritual self, ego in service to soul, that's freedom. That's liberty. Bondage or liberty, our choice. So listen to this. I want you to hear the content of this paragraph, but also notice the language, because you need to be prepared for this language to understand this book. She says, each man must sooner or later learn to stand alone with his God. Nothing else avails. Nothing else will ever make you master of your own destiny. There is, in your own indwelling Lord, all the life and health, all the strength and peace and joy, all the wisdom and support that you can ever need or desire. No one can give to you as can this indwelling Father. He is the spring of all joy and comfort and power. Now, she's using words like Lord and Father. She's using masculine language. God is a He throughout Lessons in Truth. It was written in 1894. But here's what she's saying. This Lord, this divine power is indwelling within you. All the life and health, strength, peace, joy, wisdom, and support you can ever need or desire constitutes your own indwelling Lord. She says, God in us is the fountain out of which springs all our good. She goes on to say, don't get distracted by manifesting results, by the loaves and the fishes multiplying. This is about being truth, being love, wisdom, life. The results will take care of themselves. She says living in this consciousness requires daily practice, like learning a musical instrument. Don't waste time on idle chit-chat, she says. Spend an hour of calm with God. Not withdrawing from the world or becoming an ascetic, but like Jesus, he went away often in order to come back stronger. He gathered inspiration and courage. And she hammers on the point that it's all God. Nothing bad is happening outside of you. No matter what you think you see, it's only your point of view. She says the very circumstances in your life that seem to be heartbreaking evils will turn to joy before your very eyes if you steadfastly refuse to see anything but God in them. By the same token, she says, help does not come from outside of you. All help comes from within. She quotes the Bible, God is my help and my deliverance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But she doesn't mean God out there. And she's very clear in lesson two, God is not an old man in heaven, a place where good people go when they die. God is not a stern, angry judge looking for a reason to punish us. God is spirit, the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. Everything we see is God in different forms. All the love in the universe is God. All the wisdom and intelligence is God projected into visible form. Which means the source of all knowledge and truth is lying latent within you. Emily Cady might have been the first to write about the drop of ocean water, because it's here in lesson two. One drop of water taken from the ocean is just as perfect ocean water as the whole great body. The constituent elements of water are exactly the same, and they are combined in precisely the same ratio or perfect relation to each other. Each contains the whole. And yet no one would make the mistake of supposing that each drop is the entire ocean. That's how we are divine. We are individual manifestations of God, not all of God, but some small quantity or degree of God. And like a drop of ocean water is always ocean, we are never not divine. We are never separate from God. She says humans are spirit, soul, and body, and spirit is God in us, our innermost real being. Spirit never changes. For the first of many times in lesson two, she addresses God as principle versus a personal God. And she says it's both and. The principle is the creative underlying cause of all things, but it becomes personal in each person, a loving, forgiving Father, Mother, God. She says, we're homesick for the Father, Mother. Spirit wants to come forth in our consciousness, and it won't be satisfied until we are living in bright awareness of our oneness with God and our own divinity. Through the eye of our being, the Christ within, we have access to all the life, love, wisdom, and power that God is. What we want to know is how to get more of this in our daily lives. How do we tap into this source within that is the fountain of all our good? And that's what the rest of these lessons in truth will be about. So, let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So once again, let's take a deep cleansing breath. And another deep one in and out completely. Breathing to just return to the normal, the rhythm of you, the rhythm of your life, of your body. And bring your attention softly and gently to that place within. That knows balance. That knows harmony. That knows peace. And then go deeper. And go deeper still. Yourself to say these words quietly to yourself. I am consciousness. I am consciousness. If you find any sense of argument, simply acknowledge it, bless it, thank it, and release it. Once again, say to yourself, I am consciousness. Pure consciousness. Pure intelligence, always acting intelligently. An intelligence that at its heart, at your heart, at depth, is always present in love. That deep secret place of the Most High, of your divinity. Say once again to yourself, I am consciousness. I am love. Thank you. consciousness in form. And what magnificent forms you are. So take a deep breath. Gently bring yourself back to this place. Because you are still in consciousness. Because you are consciousness. So another deep breath. And in joy and in gratitude, let's celebrate that consciousness with the Alleluia.
Alleluia.